The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on October 4th, 2015.
And on this Sunday, I wear a stole from Guatemala. Pam and I went on a couple of mission trips down to Guatemala. And I remember especially Pastor Miguel, who at a time when the government put a curfew on, and this was a very violent time in Guatemala's past, how even in a time when the government put a curfew on and wanted nobody moving outside after dark, Pastor Miguel would go about his pastoral rounds, because that's what pastors did. And was he afraid? Yeah, a little bit, but I think he trusted that God was watching him. God was going to support his ministry, and indeed God did. Now, on that last night in the upper room, Jesus knew that his disciples would be afraid. He knew the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, was on the move. He knew that his enemies would be closing in upon him. Soon he'd face a kangaroo court. Then he'd be handed over to the occupying army of the Romans to face a cruel and horrifying death. Jesus knew the grief that his disciples would soon feel. He knew the abandonment that they would experience. He knew the uncertainty that they were going to face about the future without him present. Jesus knew that they might think that everything they believed in had come to naught, and that they would be very, very, very afraid. And so Jesus said these words to them: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, like those disciples, I think fear is something that kind of runs at not an epidemic level, but maybe at an endemic level through our society. America has the largest percentage per 100,000 people of gun deaths in the world. When compared to other Western nations, Italy, 0.58 per 100,000, Norway, 0.04, the United Kingdom, 0.07. On October 25th, I'm going to be attending a program offered by the Burlington Police Department for clergy in Burlington itself. A program offered by the Burlington Police Department on dealing with an active shooter situation. It's kind of what it's come to, isn't it? Schools do it, right? I remember back in the day when we did drills, but we were fearful of a nuclear attack, so they taught us how to crawl under the desks and bow our heads, and that was that, fear of the nuclear attack that might come raining down upon us. Lockdown drills have now replaced the air raid drills of my generation's memory. We feared a nuclear attack. The fear now is of a lone wolf gunman. A recent article in the Washington Post tells of the fear and anger that gripped Sweden when an Eritrean migrant killed two people in an IKEA store, unleashing a fearful and at times hateful response against recent immigrants to that country. And attacking IKEA was attacking something iconic about Sweden. That's the role that store plays in Sweden. It's there, it's important, and for violence to come down upon an IKEA store just upset the nation and generated all that fear. A member of the last church I served in Maryland, the church was two or three miles from the District of Columbia border. One time I was talking to him during the fellowship hour, and he just casually mentioned how the particular government agency that he was working for was going to be moving out of D.C., and he just said very casually, they kind of want to be away from the blast zone, knowing that would be a target in time of war. Now, the Presbyterian poet Kathleen Norris writes, "I sense much fear of fear itself in the contemporary landscape. Having lost the ancient sense of fear as a healthy dose of reverence and wonder, we are left with only the negative connotations of the words. The fear of the Lord, spoken of in the Bible as the beginning of wisdom, becomes incomprehensible. Instead of opening us up, allowing us to explore our capacity for devotion in the presence of something larger and wiser than ourselves, fear is seen as something that shrinks us," she writes, "something that harms us and renders us incapable of acting on our own behalf." Fear is indeed something that really shrinks us and harms us. It makes us less than what God has created us to be. Even as we gather on this World Communion Day to celebrate the tremendous unity that we share in Jesus Christ, there are religious folks, Christian folks, Muslim folks, Jewish folks, who would use religion to stoke the fires of fear. There are religious folks, mostly fundamentalists, and I want to be clear, I'm talking about fundamentalists here, who would use religion to divide the world into us and them. That's the essence of fundamentalism, to see your own group as pure and righteous and on God's side, and the others as beyond God's care. We have much to fear indeed from those who use religion to divide the world into us and them. Because when you divide the world into us and them, you quickly walk down the path of dehumanizing the other people. As soon as you divide the world into us and into them, you're automatically dehumanizing those other people in the world. You're saying that they are less. They are less than what you are. Even in America, this great democracy, religion is becoming less a unifying force and more a divisive force as we divide into what might we call it, red religion and blue religion, whatever name you want to give it. And when you stir fundamentalism into a pot along with politics and nationalism, you create a witch's brew that is pretty powerful indeed. We live with much fear around us. Now, in the quote earlier, Kathleen Norris called us to a true fear of the Lord. Now, what is she talking about, a true fear of the Lord? What did fear of the Lord mean in biblical times? What did it mean when it said fear of the Lord? Anybody know?
Reverence.
It was reverence. What's another word maybe that would fit?
Awe.
Okay.
Listen to him.
Okay, yeah. Listen to what God is saying. And there's some wonderful quotes from the Bible about the fear of the Lord. It is, as the Psalms put it, the beginning of wisdom. In other verses, mostly in Proverbs, we read, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." And then this beautiful one, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." The fear of the Lord is a that awe, that reverence, that listening to God. It's a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. A refreshing fountain of life. Beautiful, cool, life-giving. As opposed to a snare, a hidden, trapping, destructive source of pain. In the Bible, the fear of the Lord meant a reverent obedience to God, along with awe, worship, and deep respect, devotion to the one who created us. It is that fear of the Lord, Kathleen Norris writes, that in the old sense of awe, allows us to recognize the holy in our midst. Fear that gives us courage, to listen, and to let God awaken in us capacities and responsibilities that we have been afraid to contemplate. Jesus lived precisely with that kind of fear of the Lord, and he encouraged it in his disciples as a way of leading to peace and wholeness, the shalom, the peace, the well-being that only God can give. In the midst of his disciples' fears that things were changing, and guess what? Things were changing dramatically. They knew that they would never quite be the same group again because Jesus wasn't going to be there. Jesus said, peace, shalom, I give to you, well-being, wholeness. Shalom is more than just the absence of conflict. It is really, truly a sense of well-being. And that's the gift that Christ is giving to us. That's the gift that Christ is giving to us. That's the gift that Christ gives us in the Holy Meal that we are to receive today. You see, that final night of his life, he opened a window into the mystery of God's love and care for people, a love that would never desert or abandon them. A few verses later in this chapter, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. Sometimes translated as, I will not leave you comfortless. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will be with you to care for you, to comfort you, to strengthen you. Jesus said, do not be afraid of earthly things, but have that righteous and holy fear of the awesomeness of God. It's only God's awesomeness that can bring us together today from different cultures and break down the barriers that normally separate us and help us to know the unity that we truly share. I've always sensed that fundamentalism is more about human fear of the other than it is about the fear of the Lord. Jesus said, I do not give to you as the world gives to you. The world gives us fear. Jesus doesn't give us that kind of fear. I believe that God calls us away from the human fear, shrinks us and harms us and makes us to be less than what we really are. God doesn't want us to live that way. God calls us to a true fear of God's holiness and awesomeness that calls us to live in peace. God's shalom, which is about the enjoyment and the blessing of right relationships with God, with our neighbors, and with the world all around us. The last church I served in Maryland, the Colesville Presbyterian Church, was founded as an intentionally integrated church. It would be open. This was back in the late 1950s. This was not necessarily a popular way to start a church in Maryland at that time. It was founded as an intentionally integrated church. And that was put to the test when the first couple of African-American families joined the church. And you know what happened? Several white families left. Why? Fear. 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 No other word for it. They left out of fear. Today, we gather at the Lord's table for the ultimate act of hospitality, where God invites his sometimes fearful people and welcomes them to the feast that he has prepared. In a world of many voices that are clamoring for our attention, and in a world of many voices designed to raise the fear level for their own purposes, God provides a still point of peace in the simple giving of the bread and cup. And just think about that. When you receive that today, just think about that. Think of Christ himself giving you that bread and that cup and the peace that comes with it. And as you come to this table, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen.
Today's sermon was delivered by Michael O'Brien, interim pastor. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McNinch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2015 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.